Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to MGM Radio Show, Fasting in the Month of Ramadan While Feasting on the Quran. This is your engineer, Patricia Salahuddin, and we are about to listen to a fantastic program, Fasting in the Month of Ramadan While Feasting on Quran. Brother Mark Shaheed and his guest will explore the benefits of Ramadan in the month that commemorates the revelation of the Quran, which was first revealed in the month of Ramadan. And speaking of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak for everyone, and may Allah bless you with a wonderful Ramadan this year. Brother Mark, you're on.
Thank you. And as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مبارك. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was blessed with in this blessed month of Ramadan, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and also the producer of the MGM Roundtable, that is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, that we generally present each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. But because this is the blessed month of Ramadan, we moved it to Saturday afternoon so that we can perhaps have more people to tune in and to listen. So we want to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience. And that is the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that becomes an obligation not only on the giver, but the recipient of that greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudin, and to our radio listening audience. And with those of you who tune in to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, know I like to bring and present to you each and every Wednesday, but a special MGM Roundtable as we're in the blessed month of Ramadan. Those very distinguished and esteemed, very scholarly intellectuals in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, as this is the fifth year that I've taken on the theme, but also the subject in terms of fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Some of the most outstanding intellects I've had at the table in the last 5 years, and as you heard last week, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed joined me with excellent dialogue on this particular theme. And this week, no different, as we have one of our very distinguished, esteemed premier educators in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. She's also formerly a columnist in the Muslim Journal, been an educator, and also principal of the Muhammad Schools there in Atlanta, Georgia. She also, you know, is the host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday here on IWDM Radio. And she has been a guest many, many times on Study Al Islam, where some of the outstanding intellects in that community appear, and all. And it goes on and on and on in regards to the things that I can say, but our beloved sister and my good sister and friend, Quran Shakir, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to you, Quran Shakir. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. Well, Quran, if you're there, please press 1. And Dr. Salahuddin, do you see her in the queue? Dr. Salahuddin, are you there? Take yourself off of mute.
Okay. Yes, okay. So, yeah, I'm here, and I see a number. I thought it was her number, but it's apparently not. So,
okay, so we should be looking, and if you don't mind, if you may need to give her a text or what, it should
okay,
be a 678-427 number. and while Dr. Salahuddin is actually doing that for our radio listening audience, I want to just give you a little backdrop on this roundtable and for the last 5 years in terms of taking on the theme of fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And, you know, oftentimes thoughts come to my mind early in the morning after Salat to Fajr. And I never forget, you know, just waking up and after Salat. And it was just an inspiration in the hand. You know, I said, we are actually fasting in the month of Ramadan, but it's also recommended that we read the Quran. This is the final revelation for all of humanity for all times. And I said, wow, we are fasting and we abstaining food, drink, and conjugal relations with our lawful spouses, but at the same time, each day, 1/30th of the Quran is called Juz. Each day we are reading 1/30th of the Quran, and for those of you who have fasted in the or even if you're just aware, even if you're not Muslim, we know that it is 29 or 30 days in terms of fast. And so actually if we are able to read at least 1/30th of the Quran at the end of 30 days, we would have completed the whole Quran. And this actually becomes like a meal for us as we are feeding on God's word each and every day that we actually are fasting. So the inspiration was, okay, we are fasting in this month, abstaining from food and drink, but at the same time, we actually are feeding upon God's word. What better thing to be feeding upon? And there's so much each Jews that we get each and every day as we are now on our 10th day. This is the 10th day. And so when sunset comes in your part of the country and we break the fast and make the Salat to Maghrib, we actually will be beginning the 11th day. This is something very important as we wait for our honored guest to come
she
on.
She is here. Our guest is here.
Thank you. Okay, our honored guest to come on. It's very, very important to note that fasting in the month of Ramadan and that month begins at night when the sun sets. This is very, very important. So this is actually the 10th day And so when sunset in your area, we will be beginning the 11th day. So I just want to give you a little information. With no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings to our very honored and distinguished guest, one of our very learned scholarly persons in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, my good sister and friend, Quran Shakir. Assalamu alaikum to you, Quran Shakir, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum wassalam, Ramadan Mubarak, and I offer my humblest apologies to you and your listening audience for being so late.
Alhamdulillah. No, you know, you're right on time. I was able to just give a little background information. I gave a little background information on you and some of the accomplishments that you have made in this community, second-generation Muslim. Also, it should be noted that Quran has a very unique name. That's her name, Quran Shakir, you see. And we know that Shakir, you know, just like my middle name is Shakur, it means thankful, grateful, appreciative. But her first name, very, very unique, is that name was given to her by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And she actually given us a little backdrop on that and how she felt that, you know, when, you know, that name was given to her and expressed her concern. But it's a beautiful name, and she wears it very, very well. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad actually wrote back to her, you know, in letter form and saying that's a name that you have to live up to. And what a beautiful name that to strive to live up to, you know, in this regard. So we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the things that Allah has blessed you to do while being in this community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And so we look at you as one of the jewels in our community and all, and it's always an honor, a very distinctive honor to have you on the MGM Roundtable. So, Quran, we want to get right to it, and want to say to our radio listening audience that you'll have an opportunity to ask Quran questions in regards to fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Is I will be dialoguing with her. You can pose your questions, and I will defer those questions to her first and foremost in that regard. And all you have to do is just press 1. Just press 1. And those of you, we are aware that we have listeners just listening in by way of the Internet. We would like for you to be a participant in the MGM Roundtable. And for you to do that, you do have to call into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. So you might want to get a notepad. I think you're going to get some noteworthy things. And so you can write them down. Once again, the number, the call-in number is 714-816-4673. So you'll have an opportunity to ask questions, to make comments, or even if what you're hearing is resonating with you, I'm quite sure our honored guest, Quran Shakir, would love to hear from you, or even if you want to just call and give her the greetings, I'm quite sure she would love that too. And I want to say this, everything is amplified and multiplied in this blessed month of Ramadan, even when you extend the greetings of peace. Oh, you didn't know that. Yeah, when the first one to extend the greetings of peace, you even get more blessings for just doing that. So keep all that in mind as we conduct this dialogue on fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So, Quran Shakir, once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. And just getting into this, we like to start with, in terms of talking about fasting in the month of Ramadan. I mean, as you well know, and many of our astute listeners, this is a prescription. It's been prescribed and also inscribed in the very fitra, the original nature of the human being. And it being a prescription coming from Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who's perfect, don't make mistakes, don't make errors, don't have any shortcomings. He has prescribed this in his final revelation to all of humanity in saying that, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to and for you as it was for those before you, so that you may learn self-restraint. And you know, Quran, that the word is tatakun, which is a derivative of the word taqwa, so that you may learn to become more God-conscious. Now, this is an old prescription, and so when we look at that, I think we're looking at more than just in terms of fasting, abstaining from food, drink, and conjugal relations with our lawful spouses. So, Quran, when you read that, what does it bring to mind that you can share with our radio listening audience in extrapolating from that ayah? And, of course, I want to say that's Surah Baqarah, which is the second surah, the longest surah in the Quran, but the 183rd verse or ayat of the Quran. Quran, welcome.
Alhamdulillah, I am so grateful for this particular revelation, because this whole idea of the prescription, you know, doctors are the ones who write prescriptions for us. And when do they write prescriptions for us? They write prescriptions for us when we are in need of healing, right? And so here's a prescription from the best doctor there is, the almighty doctor,
yes,
who has written this prescription for his servant, who may have hearts that are aching, who may have spiritual needs that are in a deficit, or who may be on the road to great bliss,
mm-hmm,
and yet they need to still perfect and improve what they're doing. So Allah the Mighty, alhamdulillah, he has given us this month of fasting as an opportunity to perfect our worship. That's the tatakun, to perfect your worship, to perfect,
yes,
your ability to make Allah number one in your life, to make him the one who you give the most reverence, who you give the your dedication to. So alhamdulillah, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about that Allah has given us this, and he has inscribed it upon us such that it is the obligation to us. And, you know, he followed it by, I listen to you when you call on me. I'm,
yes,
there for you when you call on me. So he says, listen then with a will. You know, like, this is something you really want to do. Listen to me with a will, because this thing that I'm giving you, it is not designed to hurt you. It is not designed to be a painful thing. It is a gift to you that I'm giving to you. So that's what I think about when I hear that.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, excellent. That's very well, very, very, very well said, because I think at some point in time in most people's lives, they've gone to the doctor. And they've gotten prescriptions. It was something that ailed them or what. And you know, the difference, Quran, I see there is that the doctor have to diagnose what the issue actually is and everything. And even for those who may be naturopathic or homeopathic in terms of that, you even have those physicians. You understand, you have to go and you have to say to them, do you have different types of herbs or whatever that you can recommend? And actually that becomes a prescription too. And many times, you know, those doctors, you know, when they write out prescriptions, they want some feedback. They want to see if you will respond to the prescription, whether the prescription is doing the job, or you have a reaction to it, and sometimes the prescription has to be changed. But not so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being our creator and all, he knew exactly what it is that we really need, you understand, for our growth and our development and all. So we're going to see, as we look a little bit deeper into fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Also, you know, Quran, in Hadith Qudsi, you know, I want to just say this. Sometimes people, when they hear this, that it said that Allah says fasting is for me, they actually think that this is in the Quran. That is not so. It was said or reported by the Prophet Muhammad that it was revealed to him, not a part of revelation in the Quran, that fasting is for him. But our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Muhammad, saying that fasting, that Allah fasting belongs to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's writing the prescription, of course. So it belongs to me so that you may consciously become more consciously regardful of me. But Quran, this seems like this is a prescription that we have an opportunity to get closer to Allah's will. Any comments you'd like to make in regards to this?
Absolutely. So that word, tatakun, that we use, it talks about getting consciously regardful of Allah, closer to Allah. Another word we know from that is taqwa. So some people will use that word taqwa. So for those of who are familiar, Imam Ghazali says that taqwa in the Quran has three meanings. So it's three ways Allah addresses taqwa. So the first is fear and a sense of awe. The second includes obedience and worship. And then the third is freeing the heart from sins, which is the reality and the essence of taqwa. We have to be those then ready to attain this tatakun on those three levels where we have a fear and a sense of awe. And that fear is not a fear where we're afraid. It's more of afraid to disappoint. It's a reverence where we revere Allah. And then the other one is obedience and worship. That's our taqwa. You can see that God consciousness because we obey and we serve Allah in the best ways that we can. And then the other one is that we want to lift the burdens from our hearts, the burden of disobedience to Allah, the burden of not doing what Allah has said to us. And that is the real essence of this love and regardfulness for Allah. So this is actually an attribute that brings out the good of the world that we are living in right now and the good of the next world, because it gets you there to the next world, this obedience, this taqwa, this remembrance, this reverence for Allah in all that we say, all that we think, and all that we do. That is that taqwa, that the best of what Allah wants of us as his servants.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent, excellent, excellent Quran. Yes, I know our radio listening audience really appreciate that. I want to say that if you tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio. Yes, I know this is a little different, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, special edition of the MGM Roundtable here on Saturday, only in the month of Ramadan. And your host, Mark Shaheed, and a very special guest, one of our very learned scholarly teachers in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have Principal Quran Shakir have joined us on this timely theme and topic, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. You know, Quran, as you very much aware, that today is the 10th day, the 10th day. And then one-third of Ramadan will be over, the 10th day. But, you know, in terms of it's Allah extends mercy to us, and Allah's mercy is not limited to 10 days, so we don't want you to think that. But it was reported the Prophet had said that the first 10 days is that the mercy of Allah, the next 10 days, that is in terms of the forgiveness of Allah, and the third 10 days or the last 10 days, that in terms of the emancipation, the liberation, the freedom, the deliverance from the fire, as Imam Muhammad said, the fire of our own passion. I know some say hell fire, but Imam Muhammad said that if, in fact, we are emancipated and we are liberated and freed and delivered from the fire of our own passion, that will help to take care of the hellfire that we don't, none of us want to be a part of, you know, in the next life to come for us. And so this is truly, truly a prescription, you know, in terms of the avoidance of that, if we truly, truly understand. So, you know, and looking at this and going further in terms of the reading in the Quran, it's actually a mercy because Allah says in the next ayat in terms of the exemption from having to fast in the month of Ramadan. Allah is Al-Alim, He's all-knowing, knowing that there would be people that in that time in which it was revealed to the seal of the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the prayers and peace be upon the prophet, that there would be those that would be traveling, and there would be those who would be ill, even if it's a temporary illness, or there would be those that would be ill that would have a terminal illness. So he has made exemptions for those to actually be able to make up those days at a later time. This is extending the mercy of Allah, you know, to the believers, because he starts out addressing the believer. Speak about that in terms of the mercy, because Allah is saying to us, he doesn't want us to have to experience the hardship or the difficulty, but he wants us to complete the fast. But there's exemptions made in regards to that. Speak to our radio listening audience in terms of that mercy that Allah is extending to us in this blessed month of Ramadan. Quran.
Allah is the merciful one, the Rahman, the Rahim that we have, that mercy, merciful benefactor, and merciful redeemer. He is the one who extends that to us in many, many ways. Also, with the prayer that we will follow the beauty that he has given us in being merciful as well. So a part of his mercy is exemplified in just that ayat, as you said. So he doesn't make it to be a hardship. And he says that this is not intended to be a hardship on you. And if you find it to be a hardship, then here is my mercy. Here's how I will extend this to you. I am going to say to you, feed somebody. Because look at the benefit that happens when you feed somebody. You're still benefiting and someone else is benefiting from your
food. Yes.
So Allah is so merciful in that he does that. And as you were talking about this mercy, and I'm thinking about how Allah does this. So if you are elderly and it's difficult for you, then Allah, he releases you from that responsibility. If you are a pregnant or a nursing mother and it's difficult for you, then he releases you from that. And I often tell people, you know, it's not that just because you're pregnant or just you are breastfeeding that you don't have to fast. It's a choice. And that's a part of the mercy too. Allah makes it a choice for you so you can choose, I'm going to try. And if you have to break it for whatever reason, it's not shamed and looked down upon if you do that. That's a part of that mercy. And then we have to be those extending that, because we know that there are some righteous demigods out there who think they are, you know, sitting on the throne with Allah, who will tell us, oh, you're going to hell for this. And like, how do you know where somebody is going? And so we have to be really careful about the language we use and the thoughts we keep. So a part of our own mercy to our own selves is to mind our own business and to stay in our lane such that we're not being the judge. There is an Abel already. There is a judge already, and that is Allah. So allow Allah to do what Allah does, and he has mercy for us. Imam Muhammad said something when he was talking to us about this whole idea of attaining taqwa and the strength that we have to have as a people. And I just pulled it up. He said, the strength of a society is human wealth. So we are the strength of our society. What we do with one another, we have to be strong as human beings. He said, you have to have healthy moral substance. You have to have human sentiment. You have to have compassion for all people. You have to be strong enough to act on truth, though it be against yourself, against your concept, and against your ideas of what you are and what the world should be. He said you have to be willing to give up those concepts that won't conform or won't gel or won't agree with the truth and keep marching ahead, not for your skin, but for the great kingdom within the skin, for the human mind, for the human heart, for the human intelligence, for the human sentiment, for the human development. That's what I've been trying to drive home, and that's how he ended that statement. And that made me think, wow, if we all are working to our own human perfection, then that mercy of Allah is extended to us. That's an arm that's extended to us so that we can get on the path to be better human beings, which is what the Ramadan is designed to do. And I say to all of us, a part of doing that is getting closer with the Quran, you know, connecting with the Quran. And in connecting with the Quran, then we can put our focus then on what Allah is saying. He's speaking to us, what Allah is saying to us. He speaks to us individually on where we are and where we need to be.
Yes.
And so that's, I think, a part of what I say when we think about that.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, that's beautiful. And a very substantive quote by Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. You know, and we headed toward the Quran, but this other question that I want you to give, lend some commentary on, in terms of fasting, I think it also should be noted, Quran, in terms of fasting, that is even an obligation on those that say, if they have a terminal illness, and cannot abstain from food or drink because of the terminal illness that they have and all, but it's still incumbent upon them when it comes to the five senses. The five senses, we know the five senses, they are actually receptors in taking in messages. Once again, quote Imam W.D. Muhammad, he said, a word is a message. Anything that comes to the mind of the human being, it will come through the five senses. It should be noted that in this blessed month of Ramadan, that our eyes and what it is that we actually are looking at, our ears, what it is that we actually are listening to, you know, our nose in terms of the spirit and what it is that we desire, our sense of taste or experience, what it is that we should be experiencing, and our touch, what it is that we should be being in touch with the most in this blessed month of Ramadan, as you just so eloquently articulated, is the Quran. But these senses on a higher elevation, they also have to be on fast and be consciously regardful of our Lord and Creator in that regard. And this is the only way, you know, that as has been reported, that Shaitan is truly, truly locked up. Because if, in fact, that we're just abstaining from food and drink and lawful conjugal relation with our lawful spouse, and that's all we're doing, but we haven't made these other adjustments that actually fasting in the fasting in the month of Ramadan that actually is needed and necessary to get the desired results so that we can actually become closer to what God's will is. We are really missing the point, or missing the mark, so to speak. So if you would, give us a commentary on that, because these five senses, they actually... or to be fasting too, you know, in terms of so that you may learn the self-restraint, the self-discipline, the self-management, the self-control. This becomes the byproduct of taqwa in terms of being conscious, regard for Allah. Quran, please.
Wow. you know, when we as servants of Allah think about paradise and think about that beautiful destiny that we're trying to get to,
mm-hmm.
we are aware that there are many doors to the paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the doors to the paradise is fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the doors. So if you fast it, you get to come through this door, my humble servant. Welcome to paradise. Welcome to Allah's kingdom, the Jannah. So here we are, granted this opportunity to serve and honor Allah through our fast, our Ramadan fast. And then we also understand that this fast comes on many levels. And Allah says he has arranged us in ranks. So
mm-hmm.
there are those who may do the what's called the ordinary fast, and that's level one.
Mm-hmm.
You do the ordinary fast, and this level requires only that you abstain from three things, food, drink, and lawful sexual satisfaction.
Yes, yes.
It's called the minimum requirement, and
mm-hmm.
the reward is given accordingly. Level two, you have the special fasting, and that is keeping your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your hands, and your feet free from disobedience, from committing any kind of sin. So you may ask, how do my ears commit a sin? How do my eyes commit a sin? How do my tongue commit a sin? How do my hands, how do my feet commit a sin? And that is by being open to disobedience. So your ears take in words and things that are said that can go against what Allah wants in your heart. It's not clean. So that's why we listen to Quran instead of listening to our ugly music and words and things that do not cleanse us. And our eyes, we are looking at things that are forbidden. We are observing things that are against what Allah wants for us to make us healthy and those on a path of seeking his beauty, his mercy, his blessing. So, and the same thing with our tongue, we speak things that are in disobedience to what Allah would have us say. We say ugly words. We say not the truth. We say things that allure people in the wrong direction, and our hands and our feet, and it goes like that. But for those people who are fasting from this, they are doing more than the minimum fast. Because they understand that fast is not sufficient. And so they take care not to say, hear, or do a wrong thing. And as they restrain their organs from all kinds of prohibitions, they are rewarded accordingly. And then there is a third level, which is called the extra special fasting. And this fast involves abstaining from all unworthy thoughts, all unworthy loves and desires and wishes. In total disregard of everything except the thought and remembrance of Allah. That's a higher level fasting. And this is the perfection of Tawheed. That is the perfection of this oneness of Allah. So you can physically be present in the world, but the internal stuff is exclusively engaged towards Allah. That's a higher level fasting. And that's what we want to get ourselves such that we are not doing the ordinary. We want to be amongst the elite. Is what Allah
mm-hmm.
calls those who fast is. The fast of the elite is the fast of the heart from bad thoughts, worldly worries, and anything else that may divert your attention from Allah. That's the fast of the elite. And so we don't worry about anything because we are focused so much on Allah and doing what Allah will want for us, inshallah.
Oh, alhamdulillah. That means the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah. I said, takbir, Allahu Akbar. That's so beautiful, Quran, you know, in terms of disseminating that information on the elite fast. You know, that's not an ordinary, that's an extraordinary. to get to that third level, you know, one of mutaki, you know, where you consciously regardful of Allah in every aspect of your life, your five senses, not only that, your actions, your deeds, your movement, everything in regards to that. And that's a wonderful, wonderful state to actually be in. And actually, if you're able to obtain that state, you're able to obtain that state. It makes me think about Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, arriving at that station and everything. You don't want to relinquish it even after Ramadan leaves. This is why you hear some Muslims say, oh, boy, I'm going to miss Ramadan. Well, you know, just what Quran just gave to us, you want to maintain and sustain that for as long as you possibly can. And so this is a prescription that is a lasting prescription, you know, especially if we become conscious regard for what God's word, will, and way is for us. We are moving toward, you know, getting to feasting on the Quran. I want to say to our radio listening audience that you are listening to the MGM Roundtable with your host, Mark Shaheed, and our very, very special guest, one of our premier educators and one of our very learned scholarly persons in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and that is Quran Shakir, has joined us on this timely theme and subject, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So you should begin to start lining up now by pressing one, and I'm going to do a couple more questions here, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to ask Quran Shakir questions on this theme in terms of fasting the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. You know, Quran, as we know, that Surah 185 of the Quran and Surah Baqarah, chapter 2 or Surah 2 of the Quran, it goes on, Allah goes on to say that month, what month? The month of Ramadan. That's the month that the Quran was sent down. And it was sent down, and Allah don't keep you wondering why the Quran was sent down. I want to say to those of you who may be new Shahadas or maybe not Muslims at all, Quran means that which should be read, that which should be read. Or some say that which should be recited. Both is correct in that regard. But it don't keep you wondering why it should be recited, why it should be read. He tells us that it is for guidance. Guidance for who? Guidance for all of his human creation. It's guidance. But it's also the furqan. It is the criteria. The criteria to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. I think this is very, very important when we look at why this month is really a blessed month, because this is the month, and it's reported that the Quran was revealed in this blessed month, and it was revealed in the last 10 days. And we often refer to is the night of power, Laylat al-Qadr, which is the night of power in which it was sent down, and there's been speculation over the years in terms of what was the date, what day was it sent down, and all. And it was also reported that the Prophet Muhammad was on his way to the mosque, to the masjid at that time. And it was also reported that allegedly that he was going to make that announcement. But in the process, it was reported that some type of skirmish or something happened and that the Prophet intervened in that and he actually forgot. Well, we know nothing happens. If, in fact, that's a true narrative, we know that nothing happens except for the by the leave or the permission of Allah. So it was reported that it happened on one of the odd nights of the last 10 days. And this by you is common or traditional to see Muslims worldwide. Some spend the last 10 days in the Musala of the Masjid, Islamic centers all across the world, not only here, but all across the world. You seeking Laylat al-Qadr, the night of power in which the Quran actually came down. But I want you to comment on this ayat, this instructing sign, that it was just not just sent down to the understanding of a human being, put it on their heart, because it was a pure heart, it was a pure motivation and desire that the Prophet Muhammad actually was seeking at that time in his life, in being in a dark, ignorant environment that he was in. Speak to us in terms of the importance of the Quran, if you will, in terms of the Quran being a guidance and also a furqan, a criteria to be able to distinguish right from wrong. If there was ever a time in his time, and if we look at today, do we not need the Quran for guidance and also as a criteria to distinguish right from wrong? Quran?
Wow, that's a lot. And,
that's a
and
lot.
Most definitely. Yeah, it
take,
is.
Take your time, Quran. You're on the MGM round.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But most definitely, you know, I don't even know where to begin with this, because when I think about my connection with the Quran and what it does for me in my life, it is so, I don't know, it's a blessing for me. And, you know, I was first introduced to the Quran through my mother when we were at home, and I continued the practice that she had with us, where she would sit us all down in a circle and everybody would read the Quran, you know, read an ayat, or read, if we were reading the juice, then we would read a section until we finished the juice and we would talk about it. And I'm saying all of that because sometimes we think it's a hard task to connect with the Quran. And I'm maybe considered more liberal than many when it comes to the practice of our religion, because there are, as an educator, I have educators who will say, oh, we must have the HIFS program where you mandate the memorization of Quran. And I disagree. I think that because I've met a lot of Hafiz of Quran who can't tell me what they've read or recited. I think it's more important to connect with the Quran and to understand the, as you said, the criterion that Allah has given us to live by. And everything we need is in the Quran. I sincerely believe that. It's 1,400 years old. That is what makes it a miracle, that everything in it, there's an answer for us for every single need in our lives. And that's what happened with our dear prophet, peace be upon him, when the revelation came to him. It was a healing for him when he needed it most. It was a guidance for him and the Sahabas and the believers during that time. You know, I was talking with some students this week, and, you know, we were doing a dua. We do a dua from the Quran every week, and the students have the obligation to say to the rest of the class the origin of the dua. Who said that prayer that we got from the Quran? Because we only do duas from the Quran. So who said that prayer? Under what conditions did they pray that prayer? And whether it was in Mecca or Medina? And sometimes we'll listen to the prayers, and I say, try to guess before you research it. Try to guess this. Here in the dua, the source of it, was it Mecca or Medina? And so the students will know, knowing the history of our prophet and our Sahabas and those who came before us, the ancestors of Islam, knowing that history, they can hear in that dua what it was. So this Quran gives us, dear listeners, prescriptions, yes, but it gives us prayers to pray. It gives us how to be adab, the manners of we're with each other and everywhere we need to be. So it's so much in there. Nothing is left out. And the prophet said, fasting and Quran are intercessors for the servant of Allah at the day of judgment. And he said, the fasting, the psalm, will say, oh, my Lord, I presented him or her food and pleasures during the day, so let me be an intercessor for him or her. And the Quran will say, I prevented him or her from sleeping during the night, so let me be an intercessor for him or her. And they will be prompted intercession. And this is hadith narrated by Ahmed al-Musnad on joy and happiness. He said, the prophet said, for the fasting person is two joys. One when he breaks his fast, and the second when he meets his Lord. So this is the thing. We have Quran and fasting as intercessors for one another. And so when we use both of those, then we have this elevated opportunity to get into the paradise, to get into the on the day of judgment, when that, and the door of Al-Rayyan, that's the door of the fasting. When that's open, you're going to be allowed in there, and it's going to be shut to people who did not do this thing. And then if you do it with Quran, imagine the elevation that comes for you, because it requires, in order to do that, some patience. And it requires some connections, like I need this, a drive for us.
Yes.
So I hope I answered your question.
A wonderful response or commentary that you gave. Matter of fact, it actually is leading into the next question in terms of elevation. We know, you understand, that there is recitation, as you said, the reading of the Quran. There are many hafiz, as we want to say, that have memorized the entirety of the book, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas. But many don't, have the understanding of it. And our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad, said, understanding is the home of the mind. And the scholars have said that there are five obligations that we owe to the Quran. And those five obligations is to first read the Quran. And number two is to believe what it is that we read. Number three is to understand what it is that we read. And this is by Allah's help and assistance and permitting us with the and blessing us with that understanding. And number four, and this is a biggie here, is the practical application. I think this is something you was alluding to earlier, the practical application of the Quran. This is why Prophet Muhammad was the Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. Not only because he was the recipient of the word of revelation, that's indisputable, that's irrefutable, but he's also Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, because of the demonstration of revelation in the Quran, as his wife Aisha Rahimahullah Anna told the man, in terms of wanting to know the character of who is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And she answered him, do you not read the Quran? And he said, well, of course I read the Quran. Then that's who he is. He's the living Quran. And then the fifth obligation is to convey the message of the Quran to others. This is what the scholars say in terms of conveying the message of the Quran to others. But look at it, if we would go backwards, we would never be able to convey the message of the Quran to others until we personally apply it in our own life. That's sending a message in and of itself, too. And we won't be able to personally, practically apply the Quran until we understand the Quran. Very important. We can't get home, and it also has an impact on the soul, in which we'll be speaking about in just a minute here. And we won't understand until we believe what we read. And it's going to be difficult to believe if you don't read. And does that sound familiar in terms of the first revelation that came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So I just wanted to say that, and hopefully this is not a learning lab, but Quran and I have going on here at the MGM Roundtable, but we're hoping that, in terms of feeding on the Quran, in terms of recitation or reading the Quran, it also comes a means of purification of the soul. So we can look at reading, recitation, purification of the soul. We're still talking about Ramadan. We're talking about fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And not only in terms of reading and recitation of the Quran, but the purification of the soul as we read the Quran, but then the education that comes along with that, that brings about or should bring about the motivation or inspiration that we would get from revelation, and then the actualization or realization in seeing that in our own life. So I want to say to our radio listening audience, after Quran give her commentary on this, this is going to be your time to ask a question or make a comment to our very distinguished guest. Quran Shakir, what do you have to say about that in terms of, as we know, Iqra read, and there was no Quran at that particular time. So Allah was asking or revealing to the prophet to read the big book, which we know is the natural creation. And this was the first revelation in that, know that Allah, what he gives, even in the natural creation, is abundance, and that teaching the human being the use of the pen. And who was the first one to use the pen to write? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that, in terms of inscribed and wrote in the creation itself, in terms of saying, read this here, what I have written in my signs in this natural creation. And then he taught man what he was yet not knowing. Quran, I know it's a lot, but you can do it. That's why you're here. Quran,
yes, Shakir. I want to co-sign what you have said, most definitely. Reading of Quran and having that Quran practice in your life is what actually washes the body of those things, the soul of those inner hurts and pains and needs. And we know that for every act of worship that we have, and reading Quran is an act of worship, reading of that book. And in education, we have a saying that the best way to learn is to teach. So once you learn an ayat, and you know the Sahabas, when they learn an ayat, they wouldn't move on to learn a new ayat until they were able to practice what they had just learned. So it wasn't just about reciting it, and that's what we have to know. We have to take it in and mull it around, let it move around in our souls, and we practice that so that it just becomes a part of us, and it just becomes a natural part of us, so that everything we say and do and think, it acts upon what Allah has fed us. He's feeding us when he comes with the Quran. So with those acts of worship that we have, there's an outward form for every act of worship, and there's an internal form for every act of worship. And we have said, yes, reading of Quran is an act of worship. So we can choose whether we want to be content with just going along as a husk, so to speak, or whether or not we want to join the company of the wise and the learned and those who are the believers. That's how you become a believer, by being those truly connected to performing what Allah wants us to do. And I know we're at the top of the hour, and I wanted to see if any listeners had any questions.
Yeah, we do. And we want to give just a few extra minutes because of your late arrival and everything. So we want to get the most out of your Quran, if that's okay with you. And,
that's fine.
Just a few minutes over, that'll be fine, because we want to give radio listening audience opportunity to ask questions or to make comments, and especially those, you understand, that are listening in by way of the internet. You do have to call in 714-816-4673, and if anything that has been said today by our special guest that has resonated with you, I'm quite sure she would love to hear from you. You can do that by pressing 1 if you got a question, or if you got a comment that you'd like to make or add something, or if it's just you just want to just give the greetings and just let us know that you appreciate the commentary on this timely theme and also topic, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Dr. Patricia Slaudeen, our very distinguished esteemed engineer sitting in for Rashid Salam today. Thank you so much, my sister. Do we have any hands in the air?
Yes, we do, Brother Mark.
I know we do. So let's go to our callers and see what they have on their mind.
Okay, we have 773-449. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Amir
Muhammad Shah. Alaykum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah.
Such a wonderful topic, feasting, fasting in the month of Ramadan, feasting come on. I feel like this has been a feast conversation for me. It was so much clarity, so much insight, so much information. It was guidance, and when you talked about us on the senses and their responsibility, that is so true. And just in these few days of Ramadan, I've got so much clarity on the uses of my five senses. And when you're Muslim speaking, it feels like I was getting revelation. I was getting revelation. You all work so well together. I'm telling you, it's just so divine. It's just so divine. And, I feel like my spirit has been renewed. And because sometimes we fall short, and we don't even know exactly why we fall short. And then sometimes when information is brought to us, we can see why we have fallen short, when, where, and how. And so I just want to thank you all for the magnitude of this program because it is so life-giving. Even with the other programs you give on the Quotient Marriage and Parent Addiction, the Learning Lab, it's just all so wonderful, you know. And I just pray a lot that more people would become in tune because you can renew the spirit with the information that Allah is blessing you all to share. And Dr.
Beautiful.
Everything that I can to really promote these programs because it's a big missing if we don't. I always tell Michael, it's what you don't know that you don't know if it didn't make a difference. This is what makes a difference in life. So I just want to thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much. Ramadan
Mubarak.
Thank you, Ramadan Mubarak.
We appreciate that, Dr. Alhamdulillah. Yes, press 1, Amira, you vacate the queue. After you're muted, press 1 so you can keep the studio clear. Dr. Salahuddin, anybody else with their hands in the air?
Yes, we do, Mark. We have 314-337. State your name and tell us where you're calling from.
I think I might know that.
Assalamu alaikum. It's hard for me to miss Quran, okay? her name. When you start thinking about, we have to depend totally and solely on Quran.
mashallah.
I love that name. I didn't get a chance to catch everything. I just got off my podcast. I just wanted to, say, give the greetings and, and just talk about what the Quran really means to me. And what it's really doing is, Amira was talking about, this has been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to recognize that we in this Quran and taking us back in the month of Ramadan, we're getting this rebirth. It's just so exciting to me. When you start thinking that, hey, we got to really know who this religion is, what this religion is, who's in charge, and who's going to give us those tools that we're going to need to excel.
Absolutely.
And Allah exists outside of creation. And that's what I'm learning. This forces that take place in society right now, we don't even grasp the magnitude of how much of a dimension we can step into when we understand that Allah is not part of creation. He created all the creation. It's so powerful when we think about what's taking place during this month. It's so powerful when we think about the language that we're using this month and the terminology to get a better understanding of what it means to be a Muslim. And I just want to just say that words make people, but also words break people. So we have to be careful with the words that we use, This frequency modulation that we're talking about right now is just getting tuned with the universal order things in the original cell, and I'm going to be quiet. And I'm going to continue listening. And thank you so much for
that was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Rashid Salam, for chiming in. We appreciate you, brother, and everything. And that's one of our distinguished, esteemed hosts here on IWDM Radio each and every Tuesday, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. He hosts that, and please tune in. Okay, so press 1, Rashid, so you can remove yourself from the queue. Any other hands in the air? Dr. Salahuddin?
No, sir. There are no more hands in the air.
Yeah, okay. I'd be remiss, Dr. Salahuddin. I know that you and Karana are really, really good friends, in terms of being outstanding educators in this community. I want to give you an opportunity. You got a question or a comment that you'd like to make to Karana?
I don't have a question, but I definitely have a comment. I want to thank her for such an enlightening, scholarly, inspirational answers to your questions, because I was taking notes the entire time. So I have three pages of notes. Yes, right. I have three pages of notes. This has been fantastic. I agree with Sister Amira, who said that just enlightening. It just kind of it helps you. Alhamdulillah, we still have 20 more days to go plus this day.
Mm-hmm.
So the information that you share with us today has, you know, it just kind of opened up that way for us to get even more from what Allah has for us. And that statement where Allah says at the end of that ayat that talks about, you know, the kind of things that you can do if you cannot fast. And he said the fasting is best for you if you only knew. It's like it's so much we don't know. Yeah. Even though we're learning things, it's just so much we don't know. And alhamdulillah, mm-hmm. thank you so much. And the educational piece, oh, alhamdulillah, that was you just finished that part about the education that comes along
mm-hmm.
with that. You know, we talk about mm-hmm. education is the number one priority.
Yeah,
Absolutely. That's it.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Lodine. Yeah, so, Karan, you know, as we wind this production of the MGM Roundtable down, I want to give you, a few minutes for any closing remarks that you would like to leave our radio listening audience with on this theme and this subject for the whole month of Ramadan. This is the fifth year that I have utilized this. As Allah put it on my heart 5 years ago, to have this in the month of Ramadan and to dialogue with some of the outstanding intellects in this community. So what would you like to leave our radio listening audience with, Karan Shakir?
First of all, I want to thank you. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for inviting me to be a part of this effort. And I pray that Allah, the Most High, and the Holy One, the source of peace,
mm-hmm.
has
mm-hmm.
all of us answers to our prayers during this month of Ramadan, that He relieves us of any burdens that we have, that He
mm-hmm.
elevates us in his kingdom and blesses us, inshallah. And I want to say that, you know, in Surah 3, ayat 17, but two
mm-hmm.
ayats just before 17, Allah asks the question or makes a statement about who the best believers are. And then
mm-hmm.
people will think it's going to be those who pray and it's going to be those who fast. Truly, in 3:17, the first thing that Allah says, it is going to be those who are patient. That's the one, right? So the truth, and that word for patience is sabr. So the meaning for this really prevails in the fast. Because
mm-hmm.
every person will be abstaining from food and water for a long period. You have to be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient and trust that the fast-breaking time is coming. So all of that is patience, right? That's all about this sabr. So Allah is building in us the muscle for sabr or patience. And so I just want to remind us of that, such that when we are inviting our young to be those who fast, and not most of my children started fasting when they were three, and they didn't do the typical fast where you fast from suhoor to lunch. My children would fast all day long, and I was grateful that they did that. But we made it inviting, and we made it something beautiful to do. So I'm saying that to all of us to do that. And if our children have to break the fast, be patient with them and grow our patience so that we have this muscle of ourselves, this patience muscle in us that is going to get us into that door. That's another door of paradise. Believe it or not, there's a door of paradise for the patient one. So mashallah, that's what I have to leave you with. And Ramadan Mubarak, blessed month of fast.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I just want to say to you and just echo Dr. Patricia Slaudine, you know, how wonderful the commentary that you gave today. And I know that I have benefited from it, and our radio listening audience have benefited from it in terms of you sharing with us. And of course, you always have an open invitation as your host here on IWDM Radio, and how much I have admiration and appreciation for the insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with over the year, and your willingness to always share with this community. So I want to thank you for accepting my invitation and everything, and those who tune in, I know they really appreciate it too. We will look to the courtship and marriage learning lab while we're winding down here. I always want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, and this is the Ramadan schedule. So look for the MGM roundtable after Ramadan. It will resume back to its original schedule and also time. Want to say that tomorrow it is the longest running production here on IWDM Radio with the very distinguished esteemed Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, on Words Make People. That happens each and every Sunday afternoon here on IWDM Radio. Starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. At the beginning of the week, a new production. It's been about a month in existence. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, as he hosts ABC, that's Al-Islam-based conversation. And so we do ask that you participate in the Al-Islam-based conversation. It is 1 hour during the month of Ramadan. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, each and every Monday here on IWDM Radio. Tuesday, you just heard the very distinguished thing. Rashid Salam just called in. He's the host of the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. And that's a lab you want to bring your pen and pad to. It's on the Ramadan schedule. It begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. These times I'm giving you, please make note, they're only for the month of Ramadan, and then it will return back to its normal schedule time. Wednesday. And I'm so elated to have Dr. Patricia Slaudine to step in as the engineer, but she is a very distinguished, esteemed host, along with yours truly, Mike Shaheed, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That's heard each and every Wednesday. And, of course, we're on the Ramadan schedule also, and that will air at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time during the Ramadan schedule. So please take note of that. And we will be looking at all this month how the blessed month of Ramadan can have a positive effect on how it can reconstruct the destructive family life. So you don't want to miss that with Dr. Patricia Slaudin and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And Thursday, you just heard Karan Shakir, the very distinguished esteemed host of that, Karan Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. Each and every Thursday, it's on the Ramadan schedule too. It starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And, of course, it's centered around Ramadan, too. We want to see the positive effects that Ramadan can have on the sacred institution of marriage and, yes, even on those who are in the courtship phase. So you don't want to miss that. We ask that you tune in for that. We also want you to remember the Muslim Journal, that keeping your subscription up, which is a prescription, but also this is the blessed month of Ramadan. So if you have the wherewithal, maybe you might want to look at giving an e-gift to a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, perhaps a pioneer in your community or your local library. Everything is amplified and multiplied in this blessed month. So I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in, because without you, there couldn't and wouldn't be an IWDM radio. A special thanks go out to my good friend and sister, Dr. Patricia Slaudin, for sitting in for Rashid Salam, and a very special thanks and gratitude to my good friend and also host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Karan Shakir, for accepting this invitation. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak. Children. Give them hell.
Feed the children, Lord help me. We got to help our babies. We're not in slavery. Put something good in the head. Make them make proud. Come on and go to bed. Come on and teach them. Teach the children. Come on and reach them. Reach the children. Help them understand everything in God's hand. Come on and teach them. Teach the children. They need your help. They can help themselves. Come on and teach them. Teach the children. Come on.
Yes, that's by Wilmar Siddiqui, and we do have to reach our children and teach them. So until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. That's all, folks.